Okay, very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we are at the 8:30 to 9:30 slot. Puja followed by morning chanting and reflection. Oh, sorry, 8:30 to 9, not 9:30 here. Okay. On already, Hui Rong, on already. Okay. We'll do some reflection. Okay, turn to page 25. Page 25. Reflection on the four requisites that the monk received. So this is what the Buddha recommend. So the monk also have to reflect. Then when you are in a retreat cultivating, you also have to reflect on the things that you receive. The first thing you should reflect is, are you worthy of the food? Then, second thing is, you should rejoice with all those who have helped make this food available, either through their generosity or through helping to prepare them so that they are available. Then, you have to reflect on their usage and all those things. Okay, I'll go through you. The Buddha said, wisely reflecting, I use the rope only to ward off cold, to ward off heat, to ward off touch of flies, mosquito, wind, burning and creeping things, only for the sake of modesty. So it will make you mindful that these are offered to you for this purpose. That's why this is how you overcome asava, defilement, based on understanding the usage of this thing, so that you are not deluded. Sometimes, even as monk, you may attach to the four requisites, although you renounce the world. Just like rope, if you see a fellow monk have a better rope, nicer rope, you may have craving for it. Then sometimes, when you are being offered a rope, you may have this discrimination. How come I receive only this type of robe? Other people can get better material and all those things. And that means you are not living the proper reflection as taught by the Buddha on the requisite. You still develop craving. So the word wisely reflecting is very important. Then the second type of requisite is wisely reflecting. I use alms food. Alms food means when you go pindapat, people offer to you. Not for developing craving, not for pleasure, not for fattening, not for beautification, only for the maintenance and nourishment of this body, for keeping it healthy, for helping with the holy life. Thinking thus, I will ally hunger without overeating, so that I may continue to live blamelessly and at ease. So this is how the Buddha advised the monk to reflect. Then the third requisite is the lodging. Wisely reflecting, I use the lodging only to ward off cold, to ward off heat, to ward off touch of flies, mosquito, wind, burning and creeping things. Only to remove danger from weather and for living in seclusion. Then the last requisite is, of course, medicines. and all these things. Wisely reflecting, I use support for the sick and medicinal requisite only to ward off painful feeling that has arisen for the maximum freedom from disease. To be worthy of such offering, monk must cultivate sincerely. That's why I put the remark there. If you are not sincere in your cultivation, then technically you are not worthy of all this offering. Because you have to set the example, yeah, to be a monk or sangha. Mm. Then the next two page, donate 32 part. For those who want to be more familiar with the 32 part of the body, you can look at them. Yeah? They are all described in the 4.5 reflection. Maybe I just read to you quickly. Yeah? This which is my body, from the sole of the feet up and down from the crown of the head, is a seal bag, or a skin bag, or skin filled with unattractive things. In this body there are hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinus, bone, bone marrow, kidney, heart, liver, membranes, spleen, lung, bowels, entrails, undigested food, excretion, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fats, tears, grease, sputum, mucus, oil of the joint, urine, brain. This then, which is my body, from the sole of the feet up and down from the crown of the head, is a skin bag filled with attractive things. So this to remind you to contemplate that you are not what you think, basing on the on the ICI and all those things that you put on your physical external body. When you look within, all these 32 parts are not so attractive, not what you think. The other meaning is they are parts that come together to perform the function of a human body. Just like the block up, when you put them together, it perform a function, you give it a name, then this block up arises already. They are condition arising. So your physical body is the same, karmically conditioned, with all this together, perform a function, then you give it a name, a concept. Then the five daily contemplation we have gone through. This 10 subject of frequent reflection is good. Page 28, 4.7. Monk, there are 10 dhammas which should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth, means a monk or bhikkhu who has renounced the world. What are these 10? I am no longer living according to worldly aims and value. So all these worldly aims and value are your materialistic aims and value you give before you become a monk. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then the second reflection is, my very life is sustained through the gift of others. But as a monk, this is the Vinaya. You have to depend on the alms offering from people. So this alms offering is a very good practice as introduced by the Buddha. Because there is this understanding, as a monk, you have to depend on alms food. Then you have to be worthy. Otherwise, you don't have the parami to receive food and all those things. So this is a very good way of letting you understand that your cultivation is not just based on the normal mundane human thinking. During the early days, there is a lot of this Tao thought. I don't know whether you have heard about it or not. Last time when I was in my hometown, small town, they always say, if you are very lazy, then go to the temple, become monk. Don't need to work, people offer you food. You heard of that? Zhou he xiao de ho, men zhou gang wu ming jia jia. Then every day chanting, chanting, chanting. So if you have that type of mentality, then you are not the monk as recommended or defined by Sakyamuni Buddha. As a monk, you need to reflect on many things. You have to be worthy. So it's a place where you have this understanding that this is the place I want to go to, where I want to renounce the world, to spend more time on cultivation. And if you really go by the advice of the Buddha through his Vinaya or monk's rule, you will be very mindful. Then you will progress very fast. That's why from the home to the homeless. Then you develop all the understanding, sincerity, faith. Then the spiritual faculty will develop. Then the mind of a samana will come to be. So the second one is for you to reflect to. But as a five preceptor or eight preceptor, as an ordinary willing, you don't have to depend on people's alms giving and other things. You have your own means to find a living. So as a lay person, somebody's caste a lama. Just now Sui An make the announcement. Anybody's car got alarm that goes off? I think not our car. Okay. Anyway, when you later on go down, if the alarm sound, you check whether from which car. We have already been told by the nun that one of the car alarm went off just now by Sui An. So be mindful that we are here because people allow us to use this place, and we have a lot of gratitude. So that is something that we have to understand. Then we have to play the role. We have to live by the rules. Then we have to cooperate in many ways so that there is harmony, there is understanding. If we need to apologize, if it's our car, we should. Then we tell the management of this temple, especially the Tangjia, or we can approach Tun Siong Sifu and say, "Very sorry, we really didn't know that the car alarm went off." If we have by any chance caused any unnecessary disturbance, we would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Then thank them for whatever. Thanks, Mimi. We are reflecting. Very difficult for some of you to see. Then the next one that you should reflect to is I should strive to abandon my former habit. See? Your habitual tendency, your wrong view. You have to strive to abandon them, the wrong thought and all those things. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then does regret over my conduct arise in my mind? This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone for. This one is also a good way of cultivation for lay people. You have to reflect on your conduct. If you have made a mistake, then you regret. Means you understand the consequence of that action or that speech or that thought process. Not only it has karmic, that conduct has caused suffering, misery. That's why as a monk you are sensitive. And especially you are bodhisattva, you have vowed to save living beings, the limitless, countless living beings, and take them across. How can you harm them? How can you conduct yourself in such a way that bring about suffering, coming negativity and all things. So all this will support you in your cultivation. When you reflect on it, you contemplate on it. And this is second turning wisdom, where these are laid down in the precepts of the monks. Then the next one is, could my spiritual companion, means Dhamma friend, find fault with my conduct? This one you have to reflect. If you heard any of this, then you should reflect, because most of the time, not always, your spiritual friend or companion, which is your co, for the monks is their co sangha member. So if you can reflect on it, then it will help you, because if they can say certain fault in you, means they point out to you that these are the things that they see you have committed or done wrong. Then with that mindfulness, with that reflection, contemplation, you will have to make a very important decision whether you want to correct your own fault or wrong. It's easier to see the fault of others, but it's very difficult to see your own fault if you are not mindful. If you are mindful, you can see your own fault. Then through understanding yourself, you will understand others. You will have love, you will have compassion. They are just the way they are. They did all this evil act or speech or negativity is because they have delusion in their mind. So there is understanding, there is compassion, there is love. Then you will not arise all those wrong speech, to backbite, to reprimand, to scold, and to do all these things. Okay, the next reflection is also very important. All that is mine, beloved, and pleasing will become otherwise, will become separated from me. So this is also the fourth daily contemplation. It's included in the 10 contemplation of the monks. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. Then, law of karma also same, the fifth contemplation. I am the owner of my karma, heir to my karma, born of my karma, related to my karma, abide and supported by my karma. Whatever karma I shall do, for good and for ill, of that I will be the heir. This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. So that it will remind you, if you want a good life, you should have goodness, kindness, virtue, gentleness, pleasantness, sincerity, and all those things. So that whatever you do will lead to wholesomeness, goodness, and then the law of karma, you reap what you sow. In future, when you come, people will treat you well, treat you kindly, with gentleness, with pleasantness, with understanding, with love, with compassion. Because of this right view, law of karma, you will never harm, deceive, or cheat people. You will not cause fellow living beings any suffering or misery. Then you will develop virtue, kindness, where you know this law. It's not worthwhile to violate this nature's law. Then, by doing that, you are following the advice of the Buddha who understand this right view. And your life will improve. You will become very happy, very peaceful. Then you reap what you sow. Whatever goodness, kindness, generosity that you perform out to others will come back to you as spiritual support to the fruition of it. But if you, on the other hand, through heedlessness, through selfishness, through your anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety, delusion, you do all the funny thing that violates all the morality law of nature, then karmically, it will come back to you. People will cheat you, deceive you, harm you, cause misery and suffering to you. When it happens, don't blame anybody. Like the Buddha said, it is everything to do with your karma. So if you choose to be heedless, don't take care of karma, you cannot blame anybody for your life situation and condition. So constantly reflect until this one goes in, until you are incapable of violating all these precepts and nature's law. That's why all of the cultivation lead to kindness, goodness, virtue, sincerity, and wisdom. Without this, you cannot progress along the path of Dhamma. Your cultivation got no meaning. But when your cultivation lead you to all this understanding, that is true meditation, true improvement. You have to be heedful to have this ability, to have this understanding. Heedful means ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And Noble Eightfold Path is the path to the end of all suffering. That is the meditation. Those are the noble qualities that make you noble ones. And this is the one that can bring about non-negativity, peacefulness, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, heedful living, then joy, happiness, understanding. All this will be the result of heedfulness cultivation. Okay, the next one is, the day and night are relentlessly passing by. How well am I spending my time? This one is to make you focus. If most of the time you just allow the time to slip by, because it's like your routine job, every day 9 to 5 you do the same thing, and then you are passing time, wasting your time. But if during this 9 to 5 you can be very, very efficient, you can be very, very diligent, then you get a lot of things done. For the monk, it's just cultivation, developing the wisdom, understanding, so that they themselves understand life, then they will understand others, then they can give back. When you make offering to them, they will give you Dhamma, they will give you blessing. That's why it's a synergy. Because they are a great field of merits, worthy of respect, worthy of offering, give and hospitality. Then if you pay respect to such worthy one, the merits are limitless. So all this understanding will come to you. Okay, we go to the next one. Do not delight in... Sorry, you have to inquire, reflect. Do I delight in solitude or not? This should be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone for. For the monk, initial training is seclusion. You have to have this ability to stay alone. They call it aloneness. Aloneness is not the same as loneliness. You understand? Yeah? When you feel very lonely, it means you need companion. But aloneness means somebody who can stay alone and still be at peace. Their mind don't simply create thought projection, fear, worry, anxiety. They can stay alone and yet at the same time have contentment, at peace, have love, have joy, peacefulness of mind. Because they can be in the midst of nature and their heart are very calm, very peaceful. So this ability to stay in solitude, the monk should reflect, because as a monk, you go from home to the homeless, you don't have a home. So you can stay, like the Buddha's recommendation or advice, you can stay in the cave, in the forest, or in anywhere where you can tie the cloth to have a shelter to ward off the flies, the mosquito, and all those irritating. Then later on, if you have the condition to have a place to stay, like you pass by a small temple or monastery or what, then you seek permission. Then, if you are ordained in a certain place, normally they will allow you to stay for minimum a few years, unless you have problem. Then if you have a teacher there, they will send you to remote branch monastery or other monastery where they have the contact. And this is to expose you and give you more training and understanding. In fact, Ajahn Chah did that. Okay, the next one is, Has my practice or cultivation borne fruit with freedom or insight, so that at the end of my life, I need not feel ashamed when questioned by my spiritual companion? And this one is very important. Means you, do you really sincerely commit yourself to this holy life? The life of a renunciate, a monk. Then the Buddha said, monks, these are the 10 dhammas to be reflected upon again and again by one who has gone forth. So that it reminds you, it brings you to focus of what you're supposed to do, because you have made the decision to go this way. So in a similar way, as a lay person, the precept reminds you constantly not to violate them, so that you will avoid all evil. Otherwise, your life will be affected. So this is love and compassion for you. That's why the Buddha prescribed the precepts. So these are all in the teaching, in the Dhamma. Okay, we end the reflection. Then we will continue with our next scheduled program. Oh, you're supposed to meditate, huh?